Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. I have a question tonight for black women. If you could talk to your younger self, what would you say? What advice would you give to that girl, that teenager, full of nervous energy, lots of questions, maybe even a few insecurities? We don't have time machines to take us back, but a new book takes the idea to another level to provide adult women a chance at this rather unique exercise. This is another women's history conversation we are having tonight, and joining me to talk about this are Tamara Winfrey Harris, author of Dear Black Girl, Letters from Your Sisters on Stepping into Your Power, and Dr. Jessica Desilu, clinical psychologist with Howard University's Counseling Services. I also want to hear tonight from black women who perhaps may have thought about writing a letter or having a conversation with their younger selves, the girl in them, that teenager, maybe even that very young woman, and what you might say. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Tamara, thanks for joining the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And Dr. Desilu, thank you for being a part of this conversation.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
I am really excited just to have an opportunity to talk about this idea, because I just think it is fascinating, not just because it involves, you know, women, but I think all of us at one point or another have had an opportunity to say, if only I had known then what I know now. What, Tamara, was the thing that made you write this book?
Well, you know, one of the things was is that I was hearing too often from girls and young women that they were hearing, you know, some of the negative stereotypes and the negative portrayals that we are often hit with by society, black women, a society that doesn't love black folks and doesn't love women much, that they were hearing those reinforced in some cases from the women who should love them and be their allies. So they were hearing from, you know, grandmom that, you know, your hair's too nappy and stay out of the sun. And they were hearing from, you know, the counselor that they love, that they need to be more ladylike and quieter. And they were hearing from auntie, stop being so fast. And I wanted this book to model the ways that we can love on each other well, because I think women, young women, girls, we can be each other's best allies if we can approach each other with vulnerability and love instead of fear, and share our experiences, our honest experiences with each other.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. It's a very adult, it's a very mature perspective. But as we know, children don't always process adult and mature perspectives. the little girl, Tamara, may listen to that and say, what you talking about, Willis? is that what you would have said to your younger self?
No. Well, so in the book, there are things like, so, you know, when I say approach girls with vulnerability, mm-hmm. Instead of saying to a young girl, you know, we do that out of fear. Stay out of the sun, because we know how society responds to dark-skinned black women and dark-skinned people. Mm. But instead, in Dear Black Girl, a woman named Dr. Carolyn Strong writes about what it's like to be a dark-skinned black woman and encourages girls like her to, you know, love themselves love themselves despite the images that they're seeing in the media. And she talks about the insecurity she had as a child, but also puts it in context, recognize that they might feel insecure sometimes, but also tells them they are loved and they are perfect in the skin they're in.
Who is the book for?
The book, well, it's written, the sweet spot is girls about 15 to young women of like 21. But in reality, I've talked to many women who have said, you know, it was healing and cathartic for them as well. And frankly, I think there are a lot of experiences that are just part of the human experience or part of the experience of being a woman that a lot of people can pull from. But Black women and Black girls are centered.
This sounds to me, Dr. Desilu, like therapy. A therapeutic practice for the authors of the letters, because, of course, as I said, we don't have time machines. Is this a form of therapy?
Absolutely. I think that it can be a very therapeutic experience. You know, even as we are engaging in this conversation, I feel like so many thoughts are flowing, because what we're really speaking to is doing the inner child work, which is something that I do with a lot of my clients, right? It's the idea that maybe we did not receive something during our childhood, but it does not mean that we were not deserving of it. And so it's getting to the point where we can show up for ourselves, right? We can liberate ourselves. We can give ourselves the things that maybe we needed but didn't receive. And in showing up for ourselves, not only is it healing for us, but it also shifts how we interact with the other Black women and Black young girls in our lives too, whether that be our siblings, whether that be our colleagues, our peers, or even our daughters as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the book, Dear Black Girl. If you had an opportunity to write your younger self a letter, or to speak to your younger self, what would you say? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Takora, calling from Waldorf. Takora, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Yes. I'm an independent mother of five, and I'm 34, and what I would say to my younger self would be just to take your time and stay focused on your goal. You know, take it one day at a time, because every day counts. And just to stay focused is my main thing to myself, I would say, now that I look back.
At what age would you address that letter? What would be the age of the Takora who would be the recipient of that letter or that conversation?
Well, it would be age 13.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it can go back younger than that, like at age 7. Because once you start, you know, going to school and getting picked on and people start expressing things about you, that's where you start to feel devalued and you start looking places, you know, for love, especially growing up without a father. So, you know, all of that comes into account.
Why would you say stay focused on those goals? Why would the adult Takora talk about staying focused on your goals as opposed to something else?
Well, it's supposed to not getting distracted, because everything can turn into a distraction. You know, like if you're focused on being a teacher or a doctor and you go to, you know, school and things that you probably wasn't told about, just that main thing that somebody repetitively saying, you know, stay focused, don't get distracted. And then, you know, life would be a little different now.
Did that happen to you?
Basically, getting distracted and, you know, inconfident, and then becoming confident after having a certain responsibility to deal with, you know. So you just kind of look back and say, if I would have done this differently, I could have, you know, did this a different way. It wouldn't be so hard as of now.
Takora, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the new book, Dear Black Girl. If you had an opportunity to write your younger self a letter, what would you say and why? Dr. Desilu, I think Takora kind of hit it on the head. She spoke about her younger self needing to be focused. And this goes back to the therapy piece that I was talking about. When you, as an adult, want to let that younger self not make the mistakes that you believe you've made, is that where we are with that?
I think what I was hearing was this idea of being centered within the self, right? Because when we are grounded within ourselves, when we are centered within ourselves, then we don't have to be as moved or shifted by the distractions, like she said, right? And so also understanding that it's never too late to change the narrative, right? It's never too late to focus on the goals, to focus on the self, and to choose ourselves. And that's the beautiful thing about doing this work.
Tamara, was it difficult to compile these letters? Talk to me about the process of asking Black women to participate in this.
So the hard part was whittling it down to a number that could be in the book. The initial call for letters came because I was doing an intergenerational workshop. And I thought it would be nice if the 12 girls who were participating left with a letter from a Black woman. And I kind of offhandedly at the last minute went to Facebook and asked if, you know, anyone would write 12 letters for me. And as we always do, Black women showed up and showed out.
You had no idea what you were getting yourself into.
I had no idea what I was starting. I got more than in the first group of letters, more than 50, one as far away as a Black woman living in Switzerland, and they were absolutely amazing. And I know it had to go more than that moment. But as I started to put the book together, I wanted to do a couple of things. One, a lot of those early letters were inspirational and they had advice in them, and that was great, but I didn't want that to be all of the book. I wanted girls to see themselves in the book in all the ways they show up in the world and as they are, not how society wants them to be. So it was important to me that I have a letter from a trans woman, from a queer woman. It was important to me that I had in a family chapter a letter from a woman who had been adopted. It was important that I had women talk about sexual assault, because we know that, you know, Black girls, 60% of Black girls will experience sexual assault before they turn 18. So in order to get those things in, I had to proactively seek out, in some cases, women so that girls could see themselves fully.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Women's History Month conversation, one of many we've already had during the course of March. We're talking about the new book, Dear Black Girl. What would you say to your younger self in a letter if you had an opportunity? Let's go to Brenda. Brenda calling from Northwest DC. Brenda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was saying that I would be less reckless with my life, and making better decisions and more time management. Oh, my God. My time, I didn't manage my time at all well. But if I could look back, I would manage my time much better, because I lost a lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for Brenda. I appreciate that. My concern, because you mentioned so much, Tamara, about some of the things that are in this book, and I want to drill down a little bit more after we, you know, we have a chance to take a break. Were you tasked with trying to make sure that this was not a book about regrets?
You know, and that's funny, and I was hearing that regret in some of your callers' voices. I want us as Black women to be able to evaluate our lives, but not through the lens of regret, because, you know, the now is all we have. We can't, no time machine. We can't go back. You can't change what has already happened. All you can do is focus on the future. And so the focus is not on looking back and saying, gosh, I wish I would have done this. It's more saying, here's what my life was like. Here's what happened to me, and here's what I think. Here's my advice for you. It's more sharing instead of sharing your guilt. It's sharing your experience, not sharing your guilt with younger women and girls.
Do you hear that, you know, Dr. Desilu, when you're dealing with some of your, you know, your Black women clients, how they look at the past? How do you get them to look at the past without regret? I want you to think about that, because I have to take a break and I want to pick that up on the other side. I want to let our listeners know, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you had an opportunity to write a letter to your younger self, what would you say? Give us a call. I'd like to hear what you would say to your younger self. What advice would you give? What warnings would you give? Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. And don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live on Google or your Apple Store. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're having another women's history conversation. We're talking about the new book, Dear Black Girl. If you could talk to your younger self, what would you say? If you were to write a letter to your younger self, what would be in that letter? My guests are the author of the book, Tamara Winfrey Harris, and also Dr. Jessica Desilu. She is a clinical psychologist with Howard University's Counseling Services. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to follow up with the question that I asked Dr. Desilu. When dealing with your clients, Dr. Desilu, and they're looking at issues from the past, how do you get them not to be remorseful or regretful and perhaps more reflective?
Yes. Such a great question. And I offer a different perspective to my clients, because I think that the power and the healing is in the duality. I think that it's okay to have some regret or some disappointment or some grief of our past, but we don't necessarily have to stay there, right? We don't have to be consumed by that. We can also hold on to where we are currently. We can also be liberated in the fact that we get to change the narrative. And we can also be liberated in the fact that there is always redemption, right? That's my word for 2021, redemption, because you can always come back. And so for me, it's not necessarily about eradicating that unpleasant feeling of regret completely, but being able to kind of sit with it, but not be consumed by it.
Back to the
phone. I love that.
Yeah, well, go right ahead, please.
Oh, no, that was my amen corner. I was saying that.
Well, okay. All right. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jessica calling from White Plains. Jessica, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so if I could write a letter to myself, my young self, I think one of the things that I would do is write a letter in reference to getting help with any type of trauma to be able to process, you know, through life or through the trauma that was experienced. And a lot of young people, especially young Black women or girls, they wait until they get older to recognize that they need the help. You know, especially in the African American community, we don't think about counseling and things like that to help us to move past our past. And it is a process. And so if I could write that letter to my young self, it would say, get the resources that are available within our community to help me to move past those hurts, those pains, that trauma, or whatever have occurred in our lives, even if it's just regular life. You know, sometimes we don't understand how to process things through life. And if we get someone or have someone we can talk to that studies and understands the process of this, then we will be able to navigate through this a lot better.
Jessica, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dee, calling from Columbia, Maryland. Dee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, what I would say to my younger self would be to incorporate God more into my life. God has always been a part of my life. Religion has been something that I've been very aware of my entire life. But only as I got older did I realize some things that had happened in my life and that reason was because of God. I'm not real sure of why that is, possibly because as I got older, I became more active in my religion, participating more in church and just religious events altogether. I became more active. But I would definitely tell women, men, anyone listening, incorporate God more than whatever you're doing now. Incorporate Him more. I've been blessed all my life, and I don't see any better resource, as the prior caller was talking about. I don't see a better resource for any of us, whether we're in our community, regardless of where we are, than God.
Well, let me ask you about that, Dee, because you sound like a woman of deep faith right now. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes.
But, you know, it's been, you know, my experience that with, well, let me ask you before I even assume that we're talking about the childhood, Dee. What age would that letter be for? What age would Dee be if you were to write that letter?
That age, I would write that letter probably in my 20s.
Ah, okay.
That
is why I asked, because I made the incorrect assumption that you were probably talking about a little girl. And, you know, issues of faith and dealing with children, even when guided by the best hands of parents or guardians, that's something that comes with maturity. And so now it all makes sense when you're talking about a very young woman. So hats off to you about that, giving a lot of thought to that, Dee. Thank you so much.
That was the first thing that came to my mind, that I would have been more into my relationship with God at a younger age.
Well, it sounds like you turned out okay.
Yes, thankfully I am living a blessed life. Thank you, yes.
Well, Dee, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tamara, did you write a letter?
I did not. Well, I wrote a letter in my own fashion. I contextualized all of the other letters. And I wrote I wrote a preface and an epilogue directed at girls and what I wanted them to take away from the book.
No, Tamara, wait a minute. Dr. Desilu, do you hear that? That the author of this fantastic book, this incredible emotional exercise, just dodged the process.
What I'm hearing is that she was providing space for the women who were included in the book, and she did her work, like she said, in her own way.
I know.
Thank you, sister.
I know, but that's what Black Woman Love is all about.
You know, but Tamara, really, you know, this is, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but but I would think that with all of this wealth of knowledge and experience, the light and the dark, the good and the bad, the hard and the soft, and everything in the middle, that you most certainly, whether it would be at the beginning or at the end, be able to write your own letter and go through that experience.
Well, you know what? I probably, maybe I'm not framing it in the wrong way, because I said one other time that I didn't write a letter, and some of the other letter writers were like, yes, you did. My letters and my words aren't necessarily in epistolary form, but they are still directed at Black girls and actually touch on all of the different issues that you see throughout the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll let you slide. I'm going to let you slide on that, but I think that 13 or 16-year-old or 20-year-old Tamara is waiting by the mailbox.
But you know what? If I were to write a letter, actually, once the manuscript was sent in, I was like, oh, I wish I had written a letter. And if I were going to write a letter, I would write it about achievement. And about understanding that you don't always have to be doing and achieving, and you don't have to carry that stress, and that you are valuable even when you're just being, not achieving things.
Excellent.
For all the overachieving, stressed out girls, and there are many. I've encountered many.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What I would write a letter about.
Absolutely. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Deborah calling from Silver Spring. Deborah, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Deborah, are you there? Going three times for Deborah. Can you hear me? Deborah, give me a call back if you have an opportunity. So, Tamara, what is it that surprised you most, or maybe gave you the most pause? What letter made you really, really take a moment? What did it say? Who wrote it, if you can share?
It is actually the first letter that I received after that call. And it was so amazing. It's from a woman named Nicole. And it's in the section of the book that deals with tough stuff. So it's a section that has letters from a woman who was incarcerated as a teenager, letter from a teen mom, a woman who was a teen mom, letters from women who had survived sexual assault. And Nicole wrote this letter about growing up in very difficult circumstances, having an addicted parent, having two parents with HIV, losing one parent, dropping out of high school. But then she also wrote about her current life. She's working on her doctorate. She is doing wonderful things. And she just wrote this beautiful missive on how the things that she is doing for girls like her, doing for little girls in her circumstances. And she uses the language that I am waiting for you, and you are here with me, and I am there with you, and every achievement I make is for you, and I want to know that you are loved, and that there are women who are making a path for you and building an infrastructure for you so your future can be better than mine. And I just thought it was absolutely beautiful. I shed a tear, I have to admit.
Mm-hmm. And that's intense. And I think that our younger selves sometimes need intensity, sometimes need tough love, sometimes need a sit down and listen. A come to Jesus moment or what have you to. And sometimes those things are small, you know, such as, don't you date Jack Johnson? You know, you should not have dated him, you know, or maybe something, you know, so simple, you know, as I really wish you had invested in Google, you know, and I'm being kind of, you know, tongue in cheek, but I'm sure there were some of those other kinds of things that dealt with things that were less emotional, more tangible, more the real world instead of emotional. Did you get some of that?
Yes, women wrote frankly about, and not so much. What I didn't want women to do was write, "Don't you date?" blah blah blah, but to say, you know what, I dated this guy, and here's what's happened, and here's why you shouldn't. So, you know, there are women who write about friendship. Like, how do you even know what it looks like to be a good friend?
Mm.
Or to choose a good friend for yourself? Like, what does that even mean? What does it mean to feel comfortable with the way you look, with your hair and your skin? How do you navigate the work world and your passions, the things that you enjoy doing? What do family relationships look like? You know, there are women who write about all different family relationships, including, you know, one woman that writes beautifully about being raised by her grandparents, and realizing that family are the people who love and support you. Doesn't matter if you have a dad and a mom at home and they've got 2.5 children and a dog and a cat. If you have people around you who love and support you, that is family. So there are a lot of practical, very everyday kind of letters, but I didn't want to skip out on those hard ones because girls experience those things too, and we don't talk about them, which makes them feel shame.
Okay, so Dr. Desilu, that was a lot just now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have to write that down just because that list just really struck me, especially the piece about friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Because even in conversations with my good sister friends, I had a conversation with a friend of mine today. I went to Morgan with. We went to college. And at 55 years old, in the midst of this pandemic, I couldn't speak to her yesterday. Why? Because she was on a Zoom call with her girlfriends, about six or seven of them, that they have been friends with since college and are just as close, if not closer now, than they were then. And yet, you know, Tamara was just talking about the issue of friendship and how there are times when young women and girls just have such difficulty connecting with as friends. And I think that has to be one of the most important things, that one of the best pieces of advice, because your friends are responsible, and as just like your family, for who you are today.
Mm-hmm.
Are your clients talking about that friendship piece or lack of it? Do they have difficulty talking about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think clients are definitely talking about friendships. I think especially in the current climate where folks are feeling so isolated from their community, I think people are realizing just how important community is just for day-to-day functioning, right? And friendships, I think it's one of those things that we don't really get taught how to do it, right? We just kind of jump into it, right? As soon as you start school, you just kind of jump into it, and then you're kind of figuring out on your own. And I think especially for Black women, I feel like in terms of TV, we did not always have examples of what it looks like for Black women to commune together and to form friendships, right? And so I think that's a part of why folks were so excited when Girlfriends came on Netflix,
or Insecure, for example, because it really is giving us such a rich example of how it is to kind of show up. And it's also making us feel okay with the awkwardness or the low moments of friendships, because that's also very real, right? No relationship is perfect, and neither are friendships.
Is it difficult, Dr. Desilu, when you talk to your clients about having them revisit the past? I mean, we know that trauma, the blanket answer for a lot of people is, yes, it is hard to talk about that stuff. But even the things that are not necessarily traumatic but still may be a little troublesome, bothersome, do women resist doing the work, which is, I believe, what this book is really about, doing the work for you? Why are they so resistant, some, to revisiting their past?
Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned it, right? It's so hard. You know, I love therapy, right? And I think a lot of folks are becoming more open to the idea of therapy. But what I always like to let folks know is therapy is hard. You know, there's really some times where you're going to leave a session and you just feel exasperated, because it's very challenging to look at yourself and to look at your stuff, but it's also very freeing and it's also very powerful. But it's hard. And that's one of my roles as a psychologist with my clients, right? To be able to kind of roll with that resistance, because it's real.
Part of the title, Tamara, is Letters from Your Sisters on Stepping Into Your Power. What do you mean by that?
So, you know, I think for Black women and Black girls, that's an ongoing and active thing that we have to do every day. And that is deciding that we are all right exactly as we are. And because we are bombarded with so many negative images, because we deal with racism and sexism, misogynoir, you know, it is constantly recentering yourself, understanding that you're human and that you're valuable just as you are, and surrounding yourself with people who will reflect your light back at you. So surrounding yourself with friends and other people who will hold you up.
You mentioned, of course, friendship and some other things. Give me a little more insight into some of the things that you found most, you know, fascinating, intriguing, thought-provoking in the letters that you received.
Another one that I thought was the family chapter is actually the one that I think I love the most. It's hard. It's like they're all my babies, but I love the family chapter. You know, I grew up in a very traditional family, but most Black girls do not. And we know that a lot of times Black families are demonized for the ways that they don't fit the traditional mold. And so many women wrote beautifully. I mentioned the one that, you know, a woman who writes about growing up raised by her grandparents. Another woman writes about being adopted and dealing with that, and, you know, dealing with both the loss of, you know, her biological parents, but also the love, knowing that she's with people who chose her. One woman wrote wonderfully about not having a great relationship with her dad, was absent for most of her life and was very disappointing. And another woman wrote about the mother-daughter relationship and how it can be difficult, but how it can be so rich. I think those letters really excited me, and I hope that girls will see some of their, like, family organization and in those letters and realize that Black families should not be defined as dysfunctional. If you have people who love you, then you're good.
You mentioned earlier that you couldn't put all of the letters in, and short of the letters that said, you know, don't date the snotty-nosed boy down the street like you did when you were a little girl. What, you know, because there's always a snotty-nosed boy somewhere in the life. My daughter had
all over the place.
My daughter had a snotty-nosed boy down the street. So I'm totally with that. But although, you know, sometimes snotty-nosed boys eventually end up ruling the world. So that's another conversation. You know, look, with help from letter-writing women, I should say. How's that? But how did you separate the wheat from the chaff? How were you able to, what kind of letters did you just dismiss out of hand that may not have necessarily been obvious in the beginning?
I think, well, first of all, I have to say that I didn't have to do a lot of that. I mean, I got some very, very good letters. I dismissed, like, you know, I wanted letters that were affirming. And sometimes people think they're being affirming when they're not. So any letter that wasn't affirming to Black girls, I left that out. I also tried to be very specific about not making assumptions about Black girls' identities. So, you know, not to assume their class, not to assume their religion, not to assume that they were interested in dating boys, because not all girls are.
Mm-hmm.
So some that leaned too heavily on one specific identity and I thought would alienate some girls, those didn't make the cut either. And then there were some that will be that are wonderful, that are very general, and that I will pass on to a Black girl, but not specific enough for the book.
Dr. Desilu, what would your letter say?
Yes, you know, I've been thinking about that as we have been having this conversation. And I think that I would tell my younger self to really love and appreciate her body, even if it doesn't meet the standards of what a body should look like, because this body keeps me laughing, it keeps me dancing, it keeps me eating, it keeps me showing up for people. My body does so, it keeps me hugging, my body does so much. And I wish that I could tell my younger self to love it, to love all of it, even if it doesn't meet what other people says that it should.
Is there a letter, Tamara, to your older self?
You know, that would be really interesting. And I've actually thought about that. It might be interesting. Like, you know, now I realize the power of epistolary communications. It's so different from what we do now. You know, we dash off texts and, you know, we don't even use full words. Like the power of picking up a pen, sitting down, writing a long letter, choosing your paper, mailing it. Like, imagine the power of letters written to mothers, letters written to grandmothers. Like, I think there's a lot of opportunity in a letter to communicate so much, including letters to older people.
Yeah. My mother still writes letters to me, and she's in, you know, she's in town. And, you know, coming from a, you know, a letter writing family, I just think that this kind of exercise is not only edifying, it can be revelatory. It can be liberating. Has it been liberating for you, Tamara?
I have found it very, very liberating, both, you know, editing the letters and just reading the letters and also seeing the reaction from girls. It makes me feel good. Yeah.
Who knows? I may pick up one for my daughter. She likes to read every now and then.
I hope you will.
and to that very point, how can people find out more about you? Do you have a website or anything that you would like to share?
Sure do. You can find out more about me at TamaraWinfreyHarris.com. There is also a free downloadable reader experience kit for Dear Black Girl that you'll find that has additional questions to help women have conversations with girls around different chapters. some recommendations from a psychologist and an educator on how to have good intergenerational conversation. There's some really cute paper dolls that I'm too old to play with, and a really dope playlist created by a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And too old to play with dolls, but never too old to use the word dope.
Yeah.
Ladies, I want to thank both of you for sharing some really transparent and thoughtful insight. This was a great conversation, something to think about, and not just, you know, as women do the work for themselves, but it would appear to me that this would be a great book for mothers or mothers to be. Something else to help on the journey. Tamara Winfrey Harris and Dr. Jessica Desilu, again, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
That is The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 19th. Last day of winter, spring is tomorrow. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.